It is a pleasure to introduce our next instructor here at Wide Moat Investing Summit 2018, joining us from Boston. Sean Kravitz is President and Chief Investment Officer of Esplanade Capital, an investment management company which he founded in 1999. Esplanade Capital manages capital for a small number of like-minded families, private investors, and institutions. Esplanade's value orientation, driven by patient capital and proprietary research and analysis, has generated substantial outperformance versus benchmarks since inception. As we'll hear more in a few moments, the firm specializes in smaller companies, out of favor and below the radar companies, special situations, and turnarounds. Prior to founding Esplanade, Sean was a corporate executive and strategic advisor, including principal at the Parthenon Group, a leading strategy consulting boutique, where he advised chief executives on corporate strategy, director of strategic planning and corporate development at the CML Group, a New York Stock Exchange traded company, where he oversaw activities at subsidiaries including Nordotrack, The Nature Company, and Smith & Hawken, and consultant with Monitor Company, a leading strategy consulting firm. On behalf of the MY Global community, a very warm welcome back to this forum. Please proceed.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be back. Today, I wanted to talk about one of our favorite investments, a company by the name of 5N Plus Incorporated in Canada, where we've titled this presentation, for reasons that will hopefully become obvious shortly, Pedal to the Metal. Please take a look at our disclaimer herein. Let me give you a brief summary of the investment opportunity for 5N Plus, which is ticker VNP in Canada, and then I will elaborate on each of these and then some. We've known 5N Plus for over a decade. Once upon a time, they were literally a pure play investment for First Solar, back when First Solar was the dominant blue chip high beta solar company in a nascent solar industry. Today, First Solar remains a customer, a very important customer, but the story is much more diversified, much broader. Yet, interestingly, today, solar, instead of being the entire story, is the kicker, but it's a kicker that is wildly attractive and not well understood quite yet, we believe, by the investment community. Today, 5N Plus is, in our view, an under the radar, undervalued, transforming niche company. They are a specialty materials company, really abounding with catalysts, including first and foremost, the First Solar situation I mentioned earlier. Let me share the six or seven highlights and we can dive more deeply into each of them. Number one, first and foremost, is this is an overlooked First Solar proxy. 5N Plus stands to benefit directly from their largest customers' aggressive growth plans. First Solar is in the process of expanding capacity by nearly four times following years of stagnant to languishing demand. This company is essentially a bullet seller to First Solar, and as First Solar grows their capacity nearly 4x, we expect that their business with First Solar will grow commensurately in the coming years. They are the sole or nearly sole supplier of an essential and core raw material to First Solar by the name of cadmium telluride. They've recently extended their supply contract with First Solar until 2021, giving us strong revenue visibility for the next three plus years. And we've just now started to see early, yet however muted, signs of First Solar's impact in Q1 of this year, with their revenues growing approximately 54% year on year, going from about 10% of their revenue recently to 20% of 5N Plus's revenue today. Number two, they are successfully transforming under a new CEO by the name of AJ Rochon. Their founding CEO left in 2015 when things were admittedly quite a mess, and the new management team, including AJ and his CFO, Richard Perron, are successfully transforming this company from a really what was a struggling, low value-added metals pass-through business with a lot of revenue and not a lot of margin and a lot of volatility, transforming that into a high value add, admittedly lower revenue but higher margin materials technology company. Under AJ's watch, EBITDA has grown from just over $4 million in 2015 to just shy of $30 million in 2017, while very carefully avoiding these high revenue, low margin, and ROIC opportunities, which the previous CEO had really mastered. And lastly, they're reducing their earnings volatility to metals pricing and trying to enhance margin through some upstream sourcing, recycling, and refining. Number three, we are on the verge of an inflection to revenues. As I mentioned earlier, they have quite appropriately not been focused on revenues. They've been focused on profitability and ROIC. However, growing revenues is a good thing too. And, you know, you can only shrink yourself so much to profitability. And we believe both the reality and the optics of a turning point in revenue are nearly upon us. We think the strong underlying fundamental trends have actually been somewhat masked by these revenue declines, and we expect these to reverse at the latest in the second half of this year. Number four, the valuation is really quite undemanding on both an absolute and a relative basis. 5N Plus trades at 7.4 times and 6.6 times consensus 18 and 19 EBITDA, whereas their specialty metals peers trade in the teens. Obviously, relative comparison can be a dangerous game. In this case, we think it's appropriate and are comforted by the undemanding absolute valuation as well. Next, there are catalysts galore. First and foremost, First Solar. Their inaugural expansion has literally started to occur in Q2, and estimates are just too low for the back half of 18 and 19. That's for the short term. In the medium term, 5N Plus is returning to revenue growth ahead of their management's guidance. And over the long term, as First Solar delivers on their 4X capacity growth, as the rest of the business sees continuing improvements, both in management execution and the underlying markets, the business should see some meaningful organic growth. And finally, there are some potential acquisitions, bolt-ons, to supplement the current portfolio and customer opportunity set. We believe they are well positioned to easily achieve their stated 2021 EBITDA goal of $40 million organically and $60 million with M&A. And that could happen a year or two sooner than management has outlined in their strategic plan. Finally, they have a very strong under-levered balance sheet. They've paid down over $250 million of debt over the past 6 years. The balance sheet is very clean at under 1x leverage, with meaningful capacity to invest and eventually return capital to shareholders. And there are a number of other smaller catalysts, which will again help bolster the coming years, including the largest revenue segment, which is a relative underperformer in terms of profitability, some written down inventory that could be a source of profit in the coming years, quality investors, aligned management, and a very large NOL balance for protecting profits when the profits come in the years to come. Net-net, we value 5N Plus at approximately $5.75 a share in our base case. That represents roughly 70% upside from current levels. Let me dig a little bit more deeply into some of these key facts and start with a company overview. At a current share price of $3.39 Canadian, the market cap is just under $300 million Canadian. That's about 1x revenue, and trading at 8x trailing EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA, 7.4x the year we're in, and 6.6x 2019. As we can see in the lower left, the historical financials, the business is made up of two segments. The electronic materials segment, where First Solar is the driver, is a driver, that is a smaller part of the business, but a much more profitable part of the business. The eco-friendly materials side of the business is the larger but less profitable side of the business. And as you can see, and as I mentioned earlier, revenues have declined sharply. That does not look like a growth company. With that said, adjusted EBITDA has grown sharply. We believe that will continue and will become even easier when revenues inflect as well. The company has been around for 15 or 20 years. They went public in December of 2007, so over 10 years ago now, at $3 a share Canadian. It has really been a roller coaster. When you look at the stock chart on the lower right-hand corner of this slide, it has been a tremendous roller coaster in our solar investing. We've been investing in solar for about 15 years now. We refer to this as the solar coaster. In this case, at least after this crazy ride over the past 11 years, VNP shareholders have gotten back to where they started. But it has been a tremendous, a highly volatile ride, but one that we expect will become less volatile as the business itself becomes less volatile. You know, as I mentioned at the outset, we've known this company for over a decade now. It was created through a management buyout of a Canadian mining and metals company. And at the time, they were focused on high purity niche metal refining and minor metal trading under their founding CEO. They went public, but they were really a pure play on First Solar, which achieved a multi-billion dollar market cap and was really a go-go stock for a while. And VNP was a closet way to track First Solar. Unfortunately, the solar industry, including First Solar, suffered a meaningful downturn in 2009, and VNP was really anchored to that one customer. Trying to defend against this and defend against the downturn of the solar industry and the global financial collapse, they acquired the MCP Group in 2011. They issued stock and took on a lot of debt to acquire this leading producer of bismuth. Unfortunately, while it got them a lot of revenues and got them diversification, it never translated into meaningful EBITDA accretion while tying their hands on the balance sheet. The former and founding CEO's tenure ended shortly thereafter in 2015. Solar remained in a funk. For solar remained in a funk, and most importantly, metals pricing collapsed, exposing their reliance on metals trading and the lack of a sound strategy for the future. The current CEO, AJ Rochon, came in 2016. He was an experienced executive at global materials and recycling giant Umicore. They made some changes to their board, and having known the company back in the day, we've been utterly delighted to get to know AJ and his team as we have revisited this over the past year plus and have proudly made it an investment here at Espeladon. You know, not unlike value investing, you know, this business has gone successfully now from a trading orientation, a risk-taking orientation, to more of an investing and risk management orientation. You know, when I see words like transformation, business transformation, they sometimes make me nervous, quite frankly. In this case, this transformation was one, a very thoughtful strategic decision, and two, one where we don't have to bet on management and their hopes and promises because they have already so decisively executed on this strategic plan. If we look to the right, there are really three key components to the plan, and they are executing and succeeding on all of them. One, extracting more value from the core business by eliminating low value-added revenues. They have essentially completed this, and the evidence is that they are now growing their value-added revenue. Their gross margins are higher, their EBITDA is multiples of where it was, and their return on capitals are much improved. Number two, they are extracting value from the upstream and their largest component of cost, namely metals, through emphasizing recycling and refining. We're in the early innings of that, and we are seeing reduced volatility in their business and margin expansion as a result. And lastly, really part of the ultimate future is growth through downstream growth initiatives and M&A. Again, it's early days there, and we're just starting to scratch the surface. As we see in the multitude of charts in the bottom of the page, starting on the left, back in 2015, the red part of the bar is actually negative value-added revenue, where they add value finally started to manifest itself in the financials in 2016 and even more so in 2017 and beyond. Gross margins from negative in 2015 to 26.1% in 2017. We see a transformation in EBITDA over the period through volumes, capturing real value added, etc., to where we are in 2017. And return on capital employed has gone from negative in 2015, 6.7% in 16, 12.3% in 2017, with a long-term management target of 15%, which we think they can both exceed and achieve earlier than planned. Management is embarking on this, trying to reduce the volatility of EBITDA that they had seen with so many of their uncertain, if not questionable, metals trading and risk-taking enterprises in the past. I won't spend much time on this, but in the company's words, and these are straight from the company, this just gives you a sense of their business model, their 5N21 long-term strategic plan, and what they do. I think the most useful parts of this for our use today are on the bottom of their opportunities, where we see that they are, though they're a small company with multiple lines of business and segments, importantly, they are a leader in everything they do. And that leadership position will, in time, allow margins and growth as they simply serve their customers better and better, mostly in attractive market segments that will see growth in the years to come. Places like pharma, health, and nutrition, where they're a market leader, electronics and electro-optics, industrials, alternative energy, which we focused on, aerospace, security, and defense. And on the right, though they're, you know, this is littered with buzzwords, they're actually quite legitimate. You know, in aerospace, they make semiconductor material for imaging and satellite. They're involved in the Internet of Things. They have leading positions in areas like security, medical imaging. They have a Skunk Works effort in micropowders for electronics. Again, it's hard to imagine that a small company matters, but in their micro segments or sub-segments, they are a true leader, and that gives them a real moat, and the moat that they continue to try to build around each of their lines of business. You know, we talked about this transformation, but it is incredibly important to underline yet again. This company has been deliberately decreasing their revenues in the near term, shying away from top line opportunities that add revenue, but add no profit, and in many cases, detract from profits. We saw this revenue transformation from 2015 to 2017, where by taking away some unprofitable volumes, by getting rid of certain parts of the mix and metal pricing, they saw revenues decline. But as we mentioned, that was with the goal of improving profit and return on capital. We see a larger version of that negative value-added revenue back in 2015 becoming not just positive, but growing meaningfully in 2016 and 2017. We believe that the optics of declining revenue have been part of what have held back the shares of the company, despite generally strong underlying fundamentals. And when revenue growth returns, we believe later this year, we think that's a double-barrel benefit of one, just fundamental profit opportunity, and two, improved investor optics. You know, the elephant in the room is the First Solar relationship. In recent quarters and years, First Solar was very roughly, while their largest customer, only about 10% of revenue. This has recently increased to 21% in Q1 of 2018. 5N Plus supplies ultra-high purity cadmium telluride to First Solar. This is on virtually a sole source basis, and they've done this since the mid-2000s. As you might imagine, this is a blessing and a curse. When you are dependent on one customer, it's great when things are going well for them and can be troublesome when they're not. Moreover, your volatility and your fortunes are tied to one company that will have its own vicissitudes. In this case, the company has done a great job diversifying away from First Solar, building a very robust, soon-to-be growth company absent First Solar. Yet in the past several months, First Solar has gone from more or less a stagnant, high-quality, profitable customer to a tremendous growth engine, embarking on a quadrupling of their capacity, thanks, number one, to their new technology, that's First Solar's new technology called Series 6, but two, bolstered and buttressed by recent tariffs on solar imports here in the United States, where First Solar, by virtue of their unique thin film technology, is really the primary, if not sole, beneficiary of very substantial tariffs on global imports of solar panels into the United States. Series 6 and the tariffs provide a tremendous moat for First Solar looking forward, and First Solar's new capacity has already been contracted out to their customers through approximately 2020. If we look to the upper right, we see how production capacity, and again, 5N Plus is really selling a raw material. It's selling bullets to First Solar. You know, First Solar's profits or stock price can do what they will, but at the end of the day, they need this raw material to generate their output. What had been fairly stagnant in their legacy Series 4 is now going to see eventually approximately 4x growth due to Series 6 coming on just now in Q2 and ramping later this year into 2019 and 2020. By our calculations, when we look at what happened to VNP on the lower right-hand corner in 2017, yes, their revenue declined from $231.5 million to $219.9 million. First Solar, we believe, represented virtually all of it, virtually 92% of their revenue decline, and boy, is that about to change. In Q1 of 2018, revenue from First Solar grew over 50% year on year as 5N Plus started to see the early impact, the very early impact, from their capacity expansion. Without tormenting you and taking you through this spreadsheet, the punchline is that we expect VNP to capture approximately $46 million of incremental revenue and almost $12 million of incremental EBITDA in 2020. That's not that far away, just from First Solar. This alone will represent 21% of 2017 revenues and almost 40% of 2017 EBITDA by virtue of just the incremental First Solar revenue and profitability. Turning to other growth drivers, there is an opportunity of passing through metal price increases. 5N Plus passes these through to customers, and while these revenues have fallen in recent quarters thanks to management, and they contain little to no margin, they help on the revenue declines when they start to go up. As we see, all of these core metals have seen their prices go up dramatically in recent quarters and years. When we look at bismuth, gallium, and others, these are all up and to the right. They've all experienced price increases from double digits to over 100% since 2016. These take some quarters to flow through, but these elevated prices in a small way will start to impact VNP's revenue shortly. More importantly, the value-added revenue growth continues. We believe that revenues from value-added activities grew 10 to 15% in 2017 and will continue perhaps even more aggressively looking out towards the future. Again, this is the fundamental underlying economics and trends of the business where they achieved value-added growth even while their largest customer was reducing production volumes in 2017. We believe this bodes very well as the core business continues to move in the right direction and First Solar starts to fire on all cylinders. As a result, revenue should inflect, perhaps in Q2 or in Q3, and then continue to grow, we think conservatively, in the mid-single digits. Again, after several years of revenue declines hitting $220 million in 2017, we believe we will finally see some revenue growth in 18 and meaningful growth in 19 and 2020. As mentioned earlier, we have an under-levered balance sheet. The company has reduced debt by a quarter of $1 billion. Debt is down under $50 million, and this gives them a lot of flexibility. Under 1x leverage with lots of liquidity, they can do acquisitions when they deem appropriate, and eventually can return capital to shareholders. Now, this is an opportunity and a risk. Though they could make lots of acquisitions if they wanted to, in some ways, thankfully, the market for businesses that are attractive to them is actually quite hot right now. And they have conservatively and with great discipline, we believe, passed on a lot of them, where they've said, look, we know where we trade, and it's hard to justify paying 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 turns higher multiple to buy things. We'd rather focus on growing our own core business. Again, their discipline and prudence, we think, will eventually work quite well for them. And perhaps in future downturns or when their multiple is higher, they'll be in a better position to make strategic bolt-on or other acquisitions. I had mentioned earlier a small margin tailwind, sort of gas in the tank from an inventory impairment they took in 2015. We believe there is approximately $5 million of gas in the tank there. I had also mentioned significant NOLs worth potentially as much as a quarter of current enterprise value. Management has the right incentives. They have close to a 10% effective stake through equity positions outright, RSUs, stock appreciation rights, and options. They have a committed and well-capitalized group of anchor shareholders, including a nearly 20% stake by the Caisse de dépôt in Quebec. The chairman is the vice chair of the National Bank of Canada and chairman of the Montreal Canadiens. And lastly, I had mentioned at the outset, their largest segment of business is their eco-friendly materials business. That is a margin laggard. It is much less profitable than their electronic materials division. It will never have that level of profitability, but as management continues to focus on that business as well, we do see an opportunity to grow margins in that business, which will obviously be highly accretive to profits and ultimately shareholders. For sure, there are risks, and we'll start with First Solar. While First Solar has committed to making these capacity expansions and has deployed significant capital already, First Solar can change their mind. The solar industry has proven a challenging industry, and while First Solar has always been a leader with a great balance sheet, being as dependent as they are going to become in the coming few years certainly presents a risk factor. As we said, they've put money in the ground already. First Solar has contracted almost all of their new capacity over the next few years, and we've recently signed a new supply contract with them, we think mitigating a lot of the First Solar risk. Another risk factor is metal price volatility. Again, 5 or 10 years ago, that would have been a big problem. Today, there just isn't enough trading, there isn't enough exposure to metal price volatility, thanks to how they operate their business today, metal price hedges and recycling. We are not overly concerned with this. And again, there's evidence with expanding EBITDA margins, even while base metals have been rising. There are always supply risks. VNP mitigates this by sourcing minor metals with very small annual production, continuing to enhance their upstream operations with long-term suppliers, etc. And lastly, as I mentioned a moment ago, M&A will be a part of the story. We are confident they kick a lot of tires. We are grateful that they pass on thus far all of their recent deals, as they are looking for real value-creating M&A opportunities where they know they can deliver for shareholders without overpay. Though profits have been growing beautifully in recent quarters and years, we expect revenue finally to inflect this quarter or next, later this year, and then grow through 2020 and beyond. We expect EBITDA to grow in the teens. We think that's conservative. They generated $29.6 million in adjusted EBITDA in 2017. We can easily see that number getting into the low to mid 30s and then surpassing $40 million in the 2020 timeframe. And as we look at how people think about the valuation for 5N Plus, it is admittedly a little bit of an odd duck. While we believe strongly that it's both absolutely and relatively undervalued, part of the problem today and opportunity tomorrow is that it doesn't fit neatly in one box. And that can be a hindrance, especially for a very small company especially for a company in transition. But as this company continues to deliver, as it gets larger in terms of revenue, EBITDA, market cap, and as it becomes not a turnaround or a complicated story, but actually quite a simple story of a great core business that is growing and a phenomenal customer called First Solar that is growing very, very quickly, we think that the lack of fitting neatly in a box will become less of a hindrance, and this will actually become, if not an exciting story, an extremely interesting one for those who care to look. While it doesn't fit neatly in a box, it does have specialty metals peers, all of whom trade at higher multiples than 5N plus. You know, AJ Rochon's previous employer, a much larger company by the name of Umicore, trades at roughly twice the multiple of this company. Consensus numbers are 7.4 and 6.6 times 2018 and 2019 EBITDA, respectively. Esplanade Capital's estimates, again, we believe conservative, are more like 7.3 and 6.1 times. This undemanding relative multiple gets us very, very excited. And again, you know, relative multiples can be helpful, but they can also get you into trouble. The bottom line is the absolute multiple is just undemanding. 6.6 times 2019 estimates by our math with upward bias to consensus 2019 estimates. When we combine our view of their profit generation and the right multiples that we think investors can and do and will use, we see the following scenarios. In 2018, we see a low case Esplanade estimate of approximately $36 million in EBITDA, a base case of $39 million, and a high case of over $41 million. We see peer multiples of 6.1 times at the very low end, closer to 10 times peer multiples, a 2019 medium at our base, and almost 12 times peer at the 2019 high end. That brings us to a very, very conservative view of the low end, the downside scenario, so to speak, of 310 a share Canadian, implying high single-digit downside. A base case of $5.74, representing 69% upside to current trading prices, and a high case of $7.34 a share, more than a double from here. In summary, this is an under-the-radar company that has been transforming itself and is a leader in the markets it serves, including Forex growth at a true blue-chip customer, First Solar, a business that truly has been transforming itself under new leadership, that is about to start growing revenues again, where we are paying a pretty cheap absolute and relative multiple, with lots of catalysts in the coming months and few years, with flexibility of their balance sheet. So for us, we have put the pedal to the metal with 5N Plus, and we wanted to share our thoughts on the company. Thank you very much.
Sean, thank you for sharing such an interesting idea, and even more importantly, sharing with us how you approach intelligent investing. That was terrific. If we could please move back to slide 4.
Yes.
Could you please further unpack what happened circa 2011, 2012, and what gives you comfort this is fully in the past?
You know, once upon a time, this company was basically a supplier to First Solar. First Solar, you know, to put it nicely, stagnated, fell under tremendous price pressure, and this company was stuck, you know, coming out of the global financial collapse and a solar industry that was under attack. They were in very, very rough shape, and the founding management's approach was to acquire their way out of it. And that was a colossal failure. New management was brought in. They have set out a strategy that is very sound. And importantly, they have been executing on it for, you know, more than a couple of years now. While we are betting on the team and the strategy, we are betting on something of a proven commodity, not just by virtue of their resumes and pedigrees, but by virtue of the fact that they have done or started to do what they said they were going to do. And again, eventually the proof will be in the pudding, but we are off to a very good start where we are not just betting on a vision, but we are betting on continued successful execution of a sound strategy.
And jumping forward, please, to slide number 6, the business transformation slide.
Yes.
I think it might be one further. You mentioned the chairman, the new chairman.
Yes.
Towards the bottom in 2016, you have a new chairman. Could you elaborate a bit more on this individual? I think he's quite interesting and possibly not very well known outside of his geography.
Yes, he is vice chairman of National Bank of Canada, chairman of the Montreal Canadiens, and a big deal. You know, this is a very big deal guy for what is seemingly not a big company. You know, a company I suspect that most value investors have never even heard of. You know, you might have heard of them if you knew First Solar 10 years ago, but other than that, there was no reason to. So we think that is a very interesting person at a company that we think can be meaningfully larger and more important than it is today. At the end of the day, you know, AJ and Richard and their management team are running the show, and collectively this gentleman and the board and AJ and the team are an excellent group that in many ways sort of punches above their weight, and you wouldn't necessarily expect to see a team of that caliber at a company of this size.
And just to clarify, the chairman paid for those, the 1.3% he owns, he acquired in the public market, is that correct?
It is a mix of acquisitions, grants, RSUs, stock appreciation rights, et cetera.
And moving forward, please, to slide 7, the enhanced business model slide. I'd love to please get your perspective how someone might assess if the moat is becoming incrementally more wide or more narrow over the long term.
So, you know, though the management team doesn't talk about moats, it's clear that that's how they think. They are very focused. Their language is, you know, value-added businesses and activities, but, you know, you can't add value for customers without trying to build something of a moat, you know, a proprietary ability to serve customers in a value-added fashion for you and for them, something that differentiates you from your competitors. You know, we have to start with First Solar. Though they are not exactly a sole source, they are essentially a sole source to the best biggest solar company in the world, of a raw material that is literally the essence of the solar panels they make. You know, First Solar has entrusted this one company to work with them on a highly complicated, technologically advanced specialty metal. And we think that's the highest compliment imaginable in our world. There is a moat there. It doesn't mean that they can charge whatever they want or do whatever they want. And that's not how they run their business. They are about partnerships. And because they are a leader in the segments they participate in, they are very, very focused on building those moats. And they would rather have deeper, wider moats around smaller castles than, you know, trivial little moats, puddles around larger castles. That's the business that their predecessors created. Let's find lots of revenue with no competitive advantage, no moat, and ultimately no profit. When things are good, we can do well. And when they're not, we get destroyed. And again, much like an aggressive trader, they ultimately, you know, they lost it all. So this management team, again, those aren't the words they use, but they are very focused on building a number of real moats around their highest value add businesses.
And jumping, please, to slide 16, the risks. Which of these risk factors is most front and center on your mind?
You know, it's arguably the biggest risk was one we didn't even put on this because, you know, it's obvious to so many businesses, you know, a global financial downturn will impact the fortunes of any company serving a multitude of industrial type markets, you know, whether it's healthcare or aerospace or security or telecom, technology, et cetera. So arguably unstated here, the biggest one is just a global financial downturn. The obvious one is First Solar, because once upon a time, First Solar was an enormous risk. It was the only risk that mattered, really. That went away, which was a good thing. Today, First Solar on paper is becoming more of a risk because it is going from 10% of revenue to 20 plus. But we don't worry about it because of that relationship, because of the moat, if you will, that First Solar has both built and been given by virtue of their technology and global trade policy. And absent First Solar, we have a terrific business here that is going to start to grow again. So First Solar is a de facto risk because it's going to generate such a substantial amount of growth and profit in the quarters and years to come. But for the valuation we're paying now, in our minds, that is mostly, if not all, icing anyway. So while in theory at risk, it is a risk that has been very well mitigated and would only serve to take away upside as opposed to detract from current expected value.
And moving, please, to the next slide, the forecasts.
Yes.
Could you please elaborate a bit on the underlying assumptions and the key drivers of these assumptions?
They're awfully conservative. You know, we have a business with a management team doing a lot of terrific things, underlying customer industries that are growing globally, and a company that has eschewed crappy businesses and is sort of at the end of that process and can now focus their energy on growing existing customers, which they know are most profitable, selling more to those customers, et cetera, et cetera. And this is a business that, even with First Solar starting to kick into gear, we're only forecasting 2% revenue growth in 2018, only about 10% in 2019. These are very, in our view, conservative assumptions with equally conservative flow-through assumptions when it comes to EBITDA. We know that they are not going to try to or be able to take advantage of large customers like First Solar. We understand that the margins, the prices, et cetera, will not be what they were recently when you grow your volumes 4x. We tried to be very conservative and, again, believe there's meaningful upside to these numbers. And when the numbers exceed investor expectations, we also believe that the company will receive a higher multiple for, under-promising and, we hope and expect, over-delivering.
And moving to the next slide, please, the absolute and relative undervaluation. You've described this situation as undergoing a transformation, and I think you used the phrase doesn't fit into a box. Could you comment on the current sell side coverage, if it exists, or if it's perhaps misunderstood?
There is some sell side coverage, and it is, I would say, the typical sell side coverage. Some pretty good, some not as good. There is certainly opportunity for meaningfully more sell-side coverage in the future when you think about, the dozens of analysts that cover the solar industry, for example. It wouldn't surprise me at all if in the coming 12 months, as First Solar ramps their production and becomes just an extraordinary customer for VNP, that some enterprising solar analyst chooses to cover this little company up in Canada once again, as they did a decade ago. With that said, it reminds me a little bit of a company by the name of Hannon Armstrong Sustainable Infrastructure. Hannon is a terrific company. They finance sustainable infrastructure projects in North America and elsewhere. When they went public, again, they looked a little bit like this. They were a sustainable infrastructure company. They're also a REIT, but they weren't a mortgage REIT, but they were very small. They didn't fit neatly into a box. But with a great CEO, Jeff Eckel, what they did was executed on their strategy and delivered very good business results. And the stock really stagnated for a year or two, but then people got it. They saw this is a company that's delivering, this is a company that's growing, it's cheap, and while it doesn't fit neatly into this coverage list or that box, it deserves some attention. And sure enough, when the stock started to do a little bit better, when the market cap started to grow a little bit more, people started to pay attention and the stock literally doubled overnight, even though nothing really changed overnight. And while I'm not predicting that per se for 5N plus, it reminds me of that. It doesn't fit neatly into a box, but when they continue to deliver, there will be a spark. First Solar may be that spark. We'll see. And then all of a sudden, people won't care anymore. Instead of being something that doesn't fit into a box, they'll see it as something that is both different and differentiated.
And turning back to the first slide with your contact details, please. Sean, you've been very generous both with your time and with your insights. I'd love to better understand the type of feedback from the audience that might be most valuable to receive?
Well, we love feedback. You know, our nirvana is, you know, not hearing from someone who says, look, I've been a shareholder and rah, 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 I'm a cheerleader. We welcome that type of feedback, but we'd love it if someone were short this name or if someone had sold VNP. We love variant views. We would love to hear from people who are in the industries they serve, who say, actually, you know, they're doing a great job there or not so great job there. We welcome all sorts of feedback. We factor it into all of our work, and we love hearing from and learning from investors and executives.
And Sean, you very generously present at multiple MOI Global online conferences, and I think there's now a rather clear paper trail of your process and expertise. If anybody is passing through Boston, might you be willing to have coffee?
I'd be delighted to.
And I am seeing you've shared both your telephone number and website. On that note, Sean, once again, thank you very much. It's great to have you here, and we hope to have you back in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much.